Now, we have here now the explanation of the fourth beast with the ten horns. And here is where the emphasis is placed. It's where Daniel put the emphasis. God put the emphasis, and we ought to, because we fit in here somewhere. Verse 19 and 20. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron. See, everything here speaks of power and of fierceness. His nails of brass, it devoured, it broke in pieces, it stamped the residue with his feet, and of the ten horns that were his head, and the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Now, our attention here is directed to this fourth beast and to the ferocity of the beast. Iron teeth, brass nails, and Rome was hated by her captive nations. Hannibal, who was across the Mediterranean in North Africa, he vowed vengeance against her cruel power, and he lived to execute it, by the way, yet he was finally subdued by Rome. Rome rejected the Son of God, the Savior, through her puppet Pilate, who asked the cynical and contemptuous question of Jesus, what is truth? Rome crucified Jesus and persecuted the church. The ten horns grow out of the beast, denoting a later development, not a separate kingdom. Now, Rome fell apart, as we've already said. And the horns do not grow out of a dead beast, a living beast. Rome lives in the fragmentation of the empire in the many existing nations of Europe and North Africa, including perhaps some in Asia, though I don't think we can identify them. At the time of the end, three of the horns will fall before the little horn, who's dominant in personality, ability and propaganda and public opinion. And that little horn is Antichrist, the man of sin. And that's made clear to us in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I'll not turn there right now. But that's what Europe needs today, someone to put it back together again. Now it says, verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, prevailed against him. Now it should be noted that Rome will again be a world power under Antichrist. We're told in Revelation 13:7, it shall be given unto him, that is Antichrist, the man of sin, to make war with the saints, to overcome them. Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And you see, the church has been removed. They've been a warlike people. Our ancestors were there in Europe. And for 1,500 years, they've been a warlike people. We still are. You can't go into a city or a small town in this country today, but you don't see a monument to our war dead. I tell you, we fought war. It was G.K. Chesterton who said, one of the paradoxes of this age is that it's the age of pacifism, but not the age of peace. Oh, they carry placards today, these bunch of kids carry them around, peace, peace. But you know the Bible says when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. I don't like them carrying banners, and we're not a peaceful people. War's in our hearts. In history, recorded history, man is engaged in 15,000 wars, and he signed some 8,000 peace treaties. Yet in all that period, he's only enjoyed 200 to 300 years of true peace. Man is a warlike creature. Now, the Roman Empire is to be put together again. And we're told that he'll put it back together again. And he marches to world power, and he'll become a world ruler. And we're told that he'll blaspheme the God of heaven. That's found in Revelation 13:6. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. What a picture we have. Now, is that a picture of Europe today? It certainly is. It was Dr. Sears of the University of Oklahoma who, after World War II, In fact, it was in 1953 that he went through Europe. And he said, it's been less than a decade since the close of World War II, with all of its death and destruction. But already, he says, ample evidence exists that the peoples of Germany and even France are shopping around for the strong man type of leader like Hitler or Napoleon to restore these nations to the grandeur, glory, and prosperity they once knew. And that's Dr. Sears of the University of Oklahoma. And even a man like Bishop Fulton J. Sheen made this statement. He says the Antichrist will come, disguised as the great humanitarian. He'll talk peace, prosperity, and plenty, not as a means to lead us to God, but as ends in themselves. He will explain guilt away psychologically, make men shrink in shame if their fellow men say they're not broad-minded and liberal. He'll spread the lie that men will never be better until they make society better. My friend, we are being brainwashed today. Wake up! And the world today is moving in the direction when Europe will come together. I do not know how long it is. Great many people say to me, well, don't you think the common market is evidence? Well, certainly it's a move in that direction. That doesn't mean we've come to the end. And then another thing that has happened in Europe is a psychological basis for it. A friend of mine who's spent time in Europe, and right now he's living in Switzerland, he says that the young people of these nations like Italy, France, Germany, they don't like to be called Germans or Italians or French. They like to be called Europeans today. What a psychological basis for the coming of Antichrist. All he'd have to do now is just like ripe fruit hanging on a tree. He could pick it today if he came. But that doesn't mean he is going to come today. He's not going to come until the Lord removes the church from the world. And there's scripture to prove that, as we saw in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Now will you notice, Daniel's concerned about this. Verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. And he wanted to know about it. And he's told. Verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, prevailed against them. And Rome's going to become a world power. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came. And he's the only one that'll be able to put out Antichrist, only the coming of Christ. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, we're not talking about New Testament saints. This is Old Testament. Just let the Bible say what it wants to say, friends, and don't try to fit it in to your little jigsaw puzzle. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Now, that's the kingdom that is coming on this earth today. Rome being brought back together again. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can stop that. Well, we'll have to conclude this chapter next time and then move on into chapter 8. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.